Welcome to Just a Minute. Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, dynamic performers, and they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Alan Cochrane, and seated on my left, Giles Brandreth and Susan Kalman. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me is Hayley Sterling, who's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And we begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Oh, Paul, a lovely subject. Nelson's Column. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
In the 1970s, John Noakes climbed Nelson's Column, covered in pigeon poo and cobwebs. The Blue Peter presenter, nevertheless, was a very popular man. And once he got up to the height and looked at Nelson eye to eyeball, he realised something very peculiar, that although he was now above the metropolis, he could still hear the roar of London's traffic beneath him. As he looked towards the east, there...
Giles.
Repetition of looked.
Yes, absolutely.
He looked down and he looked towards the traffic.
Yes.
Well, listen, Giles, you take over the subject. There are 34 seconds available, and you start now.
Officially, I believe it's called the Mandela Monument, but the locals think of it as Nelson's Column. It's there in the centre of Pretoria, and a beautiful object it is too, with the great man who brought South Africa into the modern world standing aloft, looking proud and magnificent. I happen to say that I once worked on the Baltimore Sun when the Nelson Rockefeller candidate came along and I was responsible for editing his column. I've had a lot of experience of Nelson's column in all sorts of different ways, but once I was invited to go up it itself.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was Giles Brandreth, who's naturally in the lead at the end of the round. Alan Cochrane, would you begin the second round? And the subject is youth and experience. Tell us something about that pompous subject in this game, starting now.
Youth and experience are a surprise subject to me, as I would have thought the BBC would be keen to avoid putting those two words together in the modern era. Let's plough on. Youth and experience.
Paul, challenge.
Repetition of B.
Oh, he has played the game a few times before.
Yeah.
Yes. Repetition of the B. Correct challenge, Paul. Another point. Your first point, actually. There are 48 seconds available. Youth and experience starting now.
When Buster Keaton left the Three Keatons, the family act he'd been involved in since the age of three, he was 21.
Alan, challenged.
Repetition of three. Three Keatons and in the age of three.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
To it at home, you have no idea. It's kill or be killed. This is the tensest thing I've ever seen.
Don't worry, darling. It'll all come to you in an end. And there are 41 seconds of it. No, yes, right. 41 seconds still available.
Yeah.
Alan, youth and experience starting now.
One of the many benefits I find with reincarnation is being able to enjoy both youth and experience. I don't get too het up about small things because I've been around before. Little ideas like embarrassment, they don't seem to affect people that are highly experienced, whereas the youth get worried about pimples and insecurity. Anyway, my beginning in show business was in a double act named Youth and Experience. Sadly, as I get older, I think I may be in the latter section of the same double act.
I say. Repetition of double act, unfortunately.
Yes, yes, right, Paul. You were got in first there. Another point to you. And you have 6 seconds to go. Well, those are the rules of the game. I should explain to my listeners, there's no clock here ticking away, so the players can't see whether it's running down to 0-0, and so it's sheer instinctive judgment. They just listen to the words. I don't know why I said that, but I thought it was quite useful. All 6 seconds. Youth and experience starting now.
So Winston Churchill picked up the tiny kitten, turned to the photographer and said...
Sir Paul Martin was speaking as the whistle. Wayne gained that extra point and he's taken the lead ahead of Giles Brandreth. As Susan Kalman, it's your turn to begin.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah?
A crash course. 60 seconds are available, starting now.
A crash course is always something positive, unless it's something that happens during a driving lesson. I think a crash course is something that everyone should go through. I recently had one when I got married, just at the start of last year. I got a crash course in how not to behave, mainly the way that I generally conduct myself around the house, which includes things like dropping my pants at my feet, which I think is a feminine thing for a lady of a certain age to do. I also feel a crash course is a good thing to happen in employment terms. For example, here at Just a Minute, I'm having a crash course in how terrifying it is to stand in front of a room of 200 to 300...
Giles Challenge.
I know it's a bit cruel.
Yes, it is, Giles, but you're flirting with me now.
I am. Repetition of something three times.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You're right, Giles.
And, of course, deviation, because you're not standing, I don't think.
Well, how do you know I'm very short, Giles?
But anyway, I'm not challenging that. It's repetition of something.
Of something, yes, it was. So, Giles, you've got him with 18 seconds to go. A crash course starting now.
It's interesting. Susan and I have been mistaken for being the posh couple from Gogglebox. And this is because... attending a crash course into how to make it on television while drinking heavily and living in the countryside, sitting on a sofa, not standing up. It was an extraordinary crash course.
So Giles Brandreth speaking as a whistle, when then again an extra point. He's taken the lead again. And Giles, it's your turn to begin. Oh, lovely subject. Alice in Wonderland. That is the subject. Alice in Wonderland... 60 seconds, starting now.
The reason that Alice in Wonderland is very much in the air at the moment, Nicholas, is that this is the 150th anniversary of the publication of the original Alice in Wonderland, or more correctly termed, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, by Lewis Carroll, whose real name was Charles Lutwidge Dodgson, a clergyman and also a teacher of mathematics at Christ Church College, Oxford, where, in a summer a century and more ago, he took three girls on an outing on a river and read to them this extraordinary story that he then wrote up properly as Alice in Wonderland. Eventually he became besotted with Alice herself, a child whose name was Alice Liddell. She was the daughter of the dean of that educational establishment, and once upon a time she was eventually proposed to by the author of the work. My favourite character in Alice in Wonderland is probably the White Rabbit, though I am fond of the caterpillar. Humpty Dumpty and Tweedledum and...
So, Giles, you obviously know your Alice in Wonderland. Yes, I know all those things as well. I thought you were going to go through all the subjects, sir.
I was about to get through all the characters and I realised I just reached Tweedledum and... Tweedledee! And I was saved by the
yes. And you were kept going to the whistle when, again, that extra point for speaking as a whistle when, and also another point for not being interrupted. Well done. And you've increased your lead. Paul, we're back with you to begin. Oh, a nod's as good as a wink. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
There's a phrase, a nod's as good as a wink to a blind horse, meaning that if you make something very obvious or indeed subtle, it doesn't matter if the equine in question can't see. I once bet on a four-legged creature that entered the Grand National hoping that it would beat the other quadrupeds it was racing against. But no! Came in last, and I blame the jockey. I said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "Ah," he said, "the mysteries of the animal that I've been riding are many." He said, "A nod's as good as a wink. Follow me." So I came down towards his height and saw that there was a little burrow, and down there I found Giles Brandreth talking to Charles Dodgson. And what the most extraordinary thing was that the aforementioned Mr. B looked just like the White Rabbit. He had a checkered waistcoat and a watch. He looked at the time. He said, "There must be more than this to Just a Minute." I said, "No, it's really quite simple. Just keep talking rubbish as long as you possibly can." Who buzzed in?
Alan.
To be honest, I think I was saving him from himself a little bit.
But there Alan, were a few... no, you weren't, because he only got 3 seconds to go.
I'm as sad as you are, guys. There were a few small repetitions, though.
I know there were. Yeah. Well, give me one.
Looked was one.
What?
Looked. L-O-O-K-E-D.
Oh, yes, that's right. Looked.
I think that was my accent that was in the way there, wasn't it?
So, anyway, Alan, you've got in with 3 seconds to go, and you've got no friends in this audience here. And you've got a nod's as good as a wink starting now.
A nod's as good as...
Four times.
Hesitation.
I'll give you a bonus point for cheek. But you were interrupted, so you get a point, Alan. And there are 2 seconds now. A nod's as good as a wink starting now.
Homes Under the Hammer is a very...
Right, so at the end of that round, Giles is still in the lead. He's 2 points ahead of equal in second place is Alan Cochrane and Paul Merton. And Susan's behind them. And, Alan, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the War of the Roses. You see, we do mix it all up. Culture, history, drama, cheap thoughts and ideas and everything. The War of the Roses, Alan, 60 seconds, starting now.
When I was a schoolboy, we often discussed the War of the Roses, and I'm delighted to inform the audience here it's an area of my great expertise. I remember being told that actually it should be described as the Wars of the Roses, because there was more than one. It wasn't just, as is often oversimplified, a battle between Yorkshire and Lancashire. Some kind of Huddersfield, oh, they don't like us over at Pennines. Hey, what's that all about kind of situation? It's actually a great deal different from that, and I would like to explain it to you in that exact specific routine.
Charles, a chance.
Hesitation.
Yes, do you think? Definitely.
I think that's just how I talk, but it's fine. Yeah.
No, I think you were hesitating. Giles, a correct challenge. 22 seconds are still available. You tell us something about the War of the Roses starting now.
The War of the Roses is really the climax of Alice's adventures in Wonderland.
Susan Callan,
I just really need some points, and that seemed to be off topic.
No, no. So... you will recall at the end, they come and the soldiers, they paint the roses red.
Oh,
and
the Queen come on, Hearts... Giles!
I'm sorry. It is, and the person, the Queen, comes along and says, off with their head for painting the roses red.
Yes.
This is Radio 4, you see, they appreciate this sort of thing.
Was this Radio 4? I thought it was somewhere else.
What is your challenge within the rules of Decimates?
Well, within the rules, Nicholas, it's a slightly oblique challenge, which is the sexual tension between Giles and I has got too much, and I just went for it. I just went for it, Nicholas.
I'm feeling a bit trigger-happy, too.
I'm sweating, and my hand slipped on the buzzer. It's as simple as that. But if deviation was appropriate, which it's not, I withdraw.
To be honest, there's an erotic charge in the room tonight, and I don't know that Susan and I can really go on. I don't want to interrupt her. I just want to hear her speak some more. She's lovely.
All right, you'd like to hear from Susan?
I'd like to hear from
You're
Susan.
You're very generous, Giles. Susan, you have a point. I don't quite know what for. And you have 18 seconds. Yet. The War of the Roses.
This erotic charge that you mentioned, is it like the congestion charge? Do you feel it more in central London?
But right. It doesn't stop at 6 o'clock.
Doesn't it?
18 seconds, Susan. The War of the Roses started now.
The War of the Roses is something which I understand happened in England, a country which I have visited, but it's not my home place of origin, which is Scotland, where we didn't have Wars of Roses. We had other conflicts based on, for example, territory, and people like Robert the Bruce were very, very... Oh.
Susan Kalman kept going to the whistle end. Gained that all-important point. And she's still in fourth place, but she's doing very well. But you're moving up, and it's also your turn to begin.
Oh.
Susan, another historical question. Samuel Pepys. I know it's an English subject, but can you tell us something about it in this game, starting now?
Samuel Pepys, to give you the headline about the gentleman in question, wrote a diary, not a diary. I know, I need to keep going. I've done the thing I'm not meant to do, isn't it? Just someone buzz in and put me out of my misery. Giles, do it.
A repetition of diary.
Yes.
A repetition of diary, yes.
I did it. Yes.
I did it. 52 seconds, Giles. Samuel Pepys, starting now.
Samuel Pepys has long been my role model because of his work as a diarist, not because he is a man... repetition
Alan.
Of because.
Yes. Alan.
Repetition of because.
Yes.
Thanks, Giles.
And it's not, okay. Not because Giles told you?
No.
No,
I've got it.
He's a very honest man, Giles, isn't he?
46 seconds. With you, Alan, on Samuel Pepys, starting now.
Samuel Pepys, but it's not his fault. His neighbours haven't got curtains. And that's one of my favourite name jokes, everybody. I don't think he can have been that good. He couldn't even spell his own name properly.
Giles challenged.
Repetition of name.
Yeah. Name, yes.
Mm. He's got
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't realise it. 33 seconds are still available, Giles. Samuel Pepys, starting now.
Elizabeth Pepys had a bit of a rough ride because he was something of an old goat, was Samuel. Young man that he was, he had an eye for the ladies around Cheapside, a good name for that part of the world. His diaries are now kept at the college that is...
Paul.
Well, I think there was a slight hesitation.
Hesitation there, Paul, yes, you're correct. Samuel Pepys is now with you. He's not with you, the subject is. 16 seconds available, starting now.
January the 3rd, 1665. Invited round to the Parsons household. Nicholas, as always, in good cheer. He's celebrating his 85th birthday. And looks every decade of it.
Paul, you're incorrigible. Anyway, you were speaking to Whistle Wayne again, the extra point. You're still trailing Giles a little, who's in the lead. Alan's just behind you, and then Susan Cullman. And Giles, it's your turn to begin. The subject is laughing in the face of danger. 60 seconds as usual, if you want it, starting now.
Laughing in the face of danger. Ha! That could be the story of my life, the title of my autobiography. When recently I texted my wife to tell her that I had laid the au pair, I was really in danger because, of course, I meant to say paid. And the misunderstanding caused her to come round with a rolling pin. I was terrified, but I laughed in the face of danger, as I did when I abseiled down Nelson's Column in the company of John Noakes, the pair of us strapped together. I laughed in the face of danger, particularly as waiting at the bottom was the Blue Peter dog yapping at my heels. It was a terrifying experience. I laughed at danger when I asked to take Susan out and her parents hit me over the head with a frying pan, saying, "You are not going to do anything like that." I have spent my life laughing at danger. I don't care.
Right, Susan, you challenged.
Yes. Yes, I have already scored, Giles, in a very unusual place. None of that. Yes, all of that.
That frying pan.
Frying pan.
You never hit you over
absolutely
the head with
not. For a start, my parents are very, very small and couldn't reach Giles's head. So, factually, none of that could possibly have happened.
No, right. So, we'll listen and... you've got 7 seconds on laughing in the face of danger, starting now.
Tonight I feel that I am laughing in the face of danger as I sit next to possibly the most sexually attractive man I have ever...
So Susan Cullman was in speaking as a whistle wind. She's moving forward. She's only 1 point behind Alan Cochrane, 2 behind Paul Merton, and a few more behind our leader, Giles Brandreth. Paul, we're back with you to begin. Ah, a lovely subject, a Cockney sparrow. Tell us something about that old-fashioned phrase, starting now.
So, anyway, I woke up this morning, I thought to myself, I might have a little peck round the branches, see what's going on. Milkman comes along, got a bit of gold top, stick me beak in, slurp, it's lovely. So, I think to myself, I might head up Whitechapel way, you know, see the old bird, see a bit of robin, you know what I mean. So, I'm wandering along the street, I think I'll take wing. I start flying across the metropolis, through the smoky, I think, hello, I'm having a bit of a party. What am I talking about?
Well, there it was, Paul. We enjoyed it. It was lovely.
I've run out of things to say as a sparrow.
I know. Alan, new challenge first.
There was a bit of deviation at the end. There was quite a lot of repetition of I think this, I think that.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
You got a lot of that.
Right. Alan, correct challenge, 34 seconds. A Cockney Sparrow starting now.
My career as a game hunter really apexed when I captured the Cockney Sparrow. I remember shooting it just as it was pecking at some gold top milk, and I really enjoyed the savagery involved. I've never really seen a Cockney Sparrow other than...
Paul Shannon.
Repetition of really.
Really. So he got his own back there. Paul, you've got the correct challenge. You've got 18 seconds. A Cockney Sparrow starting now.
So this eagle comes up to me. He says, I want you to put a pony and a monkey on the 4:30 at Newmarket. I say, that's a favour. I can't go in a bookmaker's as a bird. Can't you see what it's...
Giles challenge.
Repetition of bird.
Oh. Yes, there's more than one bird there, yes.
Outrageous.
I know they wanted you to continue with that vein.
Yes, yeah, so I did. I didn't know
Giles, when. You've got him with 4 seconds to
four
go.
4 seconds. Oh.
One, no friends, but you've got the subject. And you've got...
So I bet it'd be worth it.
4 seconds, Giles. A Cockney Sparrow starting now.
A Cockney Sparrow is not the title of a poem by John Keats, but of a verse by...
Right. Let's carry on with the show. Easter eggs. Oh, yes. Alan, your turn to begin. So tell us something about Easter eggs. 60 seconds starting now.
Easter eggs is an example of words that don't mean what they used to mean. It's now a hidden thing on...
Oh, yes, Giles.
Repetition of mean.
Mm. Mean, they used to mean, right. So Giles has got another point, and he's got 55 seconds. Easter eggs starting now.
Earlier this year, I had the privilege of attending the Royal Maundy service at Sheffield Cathedral, and chatting with Her Majesty afterwards, I said to the Queen, may all your Easter eggs be Fabergé. She looked bemused, because of course they are. What a remarkable woman she is. Her Easter eggs are wonderful antiques from the Roman and from later the Russian Empire.
Susan Challenge.
There were two Froms.
Yes.
I spotted. Yes.
Listen, Susan. Yes.
Thank you. Just one person appreciating it at the back.
Yeah, your fan club's woken up, right? 31 seconds, Susan. Tell us something about Easter eggs starting now.
During that particular time of year, I now have to go through the painful experience of an Easter egg hunt with my niece. She's 2.5 years old and quite precocious. What I had to do was stand in the middle of a field in Glasgow, hiding eggs in unexpected places. I don't know if you've ever tried to hide that kind of...
No, it was hide and hide.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So I was going to say repetition, but I was wrong.
But you give him Susan a point.
Absolutely,
because an incorrect challenge.
Yeah,
10 seconds still available for you, Susan. Easter eggs starting now.
First of all, I started by attempting to shove them into electricity pipes, which was a bad idea, as it turned out, when I electrocuted myself. I've genuinely never been so pleased in my entire life. This is the best show ever.
And you're doing very well, and we're moving into the final round.
Ooh.
I expected more than that, actually. I'll give you the situation as we do. Actually, Susan's not in last place now. Alan Cochrane's trailing a little. And 1 point ahead are Susan Kalman and Paul Merton. Giles is still out in the lead, 3 or 4 points ahead of them. And Susan, we're back with you to begin. It's a very English subject for a Scottish girl. The White Cliffs of Dover. Can you tell us something about the White Cliffs of Dover starting now?
If I can be very honest with you all at this point in time, I have never visited the White Cliffs of Dover. It's about as far away as you can possibly imagine from my hometown, Glasgow, as you can get.
Paul Shannon.
Yeah. Isn't Rio de Janeiro further?
To say in the British Isles.
I know. I think she conveyed to me that you meant...
She conveyed to you, did she?
About as far as you can get in the British Isles from her home in Glasgow.
Yes.
So I give you the benefit of the doubt, Susan.
Thank you, Nicholas.
And you keep the subject. You've got another point. 48 seconds are still available. The White Cliffs of Dover starting now.
We could have visited the White Cliffs of Dover on holiday when I was younger, but to be honest, we decided to go nearer to home, specifically to the island of Arran, which has certain conurbations which could be considered like the White Cliffs of Dover. Certainly what we did was we were...
Giles Challenge.
Repetition of certainly, but I don't wish to take advantage of it. I simply wish to invite Susan to join me on a day trip to the White Cliffs of Dover.
You have to go at a certain time because he gets a concession on the buses. So you
have to... I think there's certainly a documentary in it, Giles going to Dover.
Oh, yes.
As it's the last round, we did enjoy your interjection there, so we give you a bonus point for that because the audience reaction was delightful. Giles, you had a correct challenge, and you have 32 seconds. Tell us something about the White Cliffs of Dover, starting now.
I've actually been to the White Cliffs of Dover with Dame Vera Lynn herself, and she sang her favourite number to me. Yes, there are bluebirds over the White Cliffs of Dover. Tears filled my eyes, and I looked at this beautiful lady who had sung to us throughout the Second World War, and I thought, somebody like her will come along into my life, and here is Susan tonight. It's amazing. She's become the kind of woman who can sing beautiful...
Oh, Alan Challenge.
I think there was a repetition of woman.
There was a woman.
Susan, don't go. Not even if you think it's good material.
So, Alan, you've got in with 4 seconds to go. The subject is the White Cliffs of Dover, starting now.
Other than Calais, the best thing about Dover is the White Cliff.
Well, I said that was to be the last round. Let me give the situation. Oh, very interesting result. We have three people equal in second place. Paul Merton, Susan Cullman playing for the first time, Alan Cochrane, all equal in second place. And they are 3 or 4 points behind Giles Brandreth, who's the lead, and therefore we say the winner this week. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. And it only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Alan Cochrane, Susan Cullman and Giles Brandreth. I thank Hayley Sterling, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle with such style when the 60 seconds elapsed. And we're deeply indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're grateful to Victoria Lloyd, who is our producer. And we're grateful to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre, who've cheered us on our way magnificently. So from me, from the team, and from the audience, goodbye, thank you. Tune in again the next time we play Just a Minute.
And next week, Paul Merton, Marcus Brigstock, Lucy Bowman and Giles Brandreth will be taking the Just a Minute Challenge.